What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, socially distancing away from the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. I don't have any clever intro. I mean, happy Memorial Day. I shouldn't say happy Memorial Day. Not even happy Memorial Day, but Memorial Day weekend has come and gone. Mm-hmm. Before we started, Eddie asked me how my Memorial Day weekend was in quarantine. I said it's pretty much like every other weekend has been in quarantine.
Basically.
I got nothing on that right now. So,
yeah, I mean, at least we're seeing some positivity, right? Like the states of New York and New Jersey have opened things up so teams can get into the facilities. And that's a positive. Charles Barkley was talking about how there's 100% going to be basketball. Maybe he wasn't supposed to say that. I'm not sure.
Does he mean like ever or like this year?
No, they're going to pick things up, I would guess. So that's at least we're moving in a direction where we're getting closer to having sports back. And we had the match over the weekend, which was fun to watch from basically Tom Brady holding out that shot, splitting his pants, talking trash with Barkley. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so
I heard Tom.
We're getting closer.
I didn't watch any of it, but I heard Tom sort of looked like a regular guy out there, right? Like he lost a whole bunch of balls. A lot of things didn't go right. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it, but it sounds like Tom Brady is human, and he, at least when it comes to golf, he's like a regular person.
Exactly. Yep.
So that's cool. Last week, we started kind of a deeper dive positionally into quarterbacks and running backs. This week, we'll finish out the set. We've got wide receivers today. We'll have tight ends on Thursday. And, it'll look the same kind of guys who are overrated, underrated, that sort of thing. We'll get into all of that and more. But before we do that, we'll talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, how was your long weekend?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you guys said. I mean, it's not the best conditions for everything, but the weather was okay. Like, stuff is slowly getting back there. I did buy some grilling materials, although I don't have a grill because I'm in a tower apartment, so I have no outdoor space. But threw some Kobe beef burgers and some, like, jumbo hot dogs on the stove and made those. So and I have like a lawn space, got a little bit of a suntan. It's hard to see because the sun's coming in at me, but I wore a hat. And I have a line on my head, so where the sunburn starts.
I see it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, I was outside for a few of the days over the weekend, and grilled up some dogs and burgers. Like, wasn't all bad. Try to enjoy the holiday. The extra day off as well as I could in the current climate. So it is what it is. It's slowly inching back, like you were saying, and it's all right.
Yeah. I did get the bike out, bought one of those trailers to attach to the back of my bike so I could drag the kid around in it.
Oh, nice.
It was fun. He has a bike helmet that doesn't really fit because he has a massive amount of hair, but it was a good time. It was a very good time. All right, let's start with one of the bigger stories to hit in the last couple of days. The Seahawks, because they can never have enough running backs, at least they can never do enough to confound us in our fantasy lives, they signed Carlos Hyde to a one-year deal. So, I mean, Fabs, last year we were already a little bit worried that Rashad Penny was going to come and take over for Chris Carson. That never happened. Now we have to figure out how Chris Carson can hold off Carlos Hyde. And does this mean the end of Rashad Penny's fantasy usefulness in Seattle? I mean, this does shake some things up there.
It does. I still feel like Carson's going to end up seeing enough touches where he'll be in the RB2 conversation, much like he was last season. I feel like this is a depth move by the Seahawks because they're really not sure if Rashad Penny's going to be ready for week one. In fact, Pete Carroll earlier in the offseason had said likely going to end up being on the PUP list. So this is a depth move. I would have been worried more about Carson if it was Devonta Freeman that got signed and not Carlos Hyde, because Carlos Hyde's not a tremendously good pass catcher, although he did have one season with Kyle Shanahan where he had, I believe, 59 catches. And I still feel like Chris Carson's value is what it was before the Seahawks signed Hyde.
You mentioned Devonta Freeman, and I think a lot of people thought that maybe he would go there, that the Seahawks made him what people consider to be a pretty fair deal. He turned it down. Now, according to Mike Silver, Freeman reportedly has a certain number that he's trying to hit. And if he doesn't, then he's willing to kind of sit out the season. I mean, we'll see about that. But I mean, at some point, Fabs, I would think, I guess if somebody's willing to pay it, Devontae Freeman is still a quality running back. And he's just kind of sitting out there for somebody to pick up at this point.
But I also feel like if he expects to get paid, he's not going to be on a team, because you look at his injury issues over the last few seasons. Ever since he had that big year in 2015, his value and his production have sort of been up and down, and teams just aren't willing to pay veteran running backs. They're just not. I mean, Carlos Hyde, that salary is a max of $4 million. So he would have to hit some incentives. And I believe at the base, it's probably what, maybe $1 million, $1.5 million at the most. So teams just aren't going to pay, you know, and you know, I use the term loosely, but older running backs. You know, Devonta Freeman is not an old man,
right?
But by running back standards, he's, you know, he's getting close to 30. I believe he's what, 28. So if, and to be honest, selfishly, I don't want him to sign anywhere else, because it's just going to make wherever he ends up a mess. Like if he goes to Philadelphia, like I love Miles Sanders. I'm all in on Miles Sanders. If Freeman goes to Philadelphia, I'm like, ah, damn it. You know, like I have a clear path to touches here in a featured role for Miles Sanders. I don't want them to sign somebody else. LeSean McCoy would be fine, because I don't really feel like he'd make a big impact in terms of Sanders' touches, but Freeman could. So at this point, Freeman is not being drafted, nor should he be. I'd see him drafted in a couple of best ball leagues just in case he does come back. But heck, I mean, if he wants, if he feels like he's not going to get offers to what he's worth, he may not play football to start 2020.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely a possibility. It is a tough market out there for running backs, as we keep learning more and more every day, especially when you have so many guys coming in from college. You know, it is hard to get that second contract, let alone a third contract. That seems nearly impossible at this point if you're a running back. But even just getting to that second contract is kind of a challenge.
Yep.
Devontae Freeman is sort of learning that. So, over to the wide receivers now. Let's do this sort of like we did last week, right? We're not changing a whole lot in this situation. We'll start with the guys who are the top five PPR, of course, wide receivers: Michael Thomas, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins. I'll ask you the same question I asked you last week. Which one of those do you see potentially falling out of the top five this year? I have a feeling I know which one you're going to say.
Well, I could see two.
Okay.
I mean, Michael Thomas, I mean, boy, if you ever said he'd fall out of the top five, everyone would come at you. Nuke, I feel like, will remain in the top five. Julio Jones, I feel like, will remain in the top five, especially because, you know, they lose those targets with Austin Hooper going to Cleveland. And, you know, Hayden Hurst is going to come in and be a nice sleeper, but I don't know that he's going to command as many targets. Time will tell. I could see Kupp falling out of the top five. If you looked at what his numbers were last year, in terms of his targets and his catches and his yards, once they went to the 12 personnel a little bit more on a regular basis, they declined, and his value sort of was upheld because he kept scoring touchdowns. So I feel like Cooper could end up dropping out of the top five. This might be blasphemy. As much as I love Chris Godwin, I could see him dropping out of the top five, not out of the top 10, but out of the top five. You know, at this point, if I'm looking at my top rankings at the wide receiver position, I've got Thomas, Devontae Adams is going to jump back in, Nuke, Tyreek Hill, and Julio Jones. And then I have Chris Godwin at six.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Cooper Kupp is probably one of the ones that falls out of the top five. I think, you know, with the Rams, you know, running multiple tight ends, I think, you know, you see more opportunity. Obviously, Tyler Higbee had a great finish to last season. I think Gerald Everett's going to start to get some more work. You know, I'm curious what happens in this battle between Josh Reynolds and Van Jefferson, who sort of wins out on that, and how that impacts Cooper Kupp. But I can definitely see a situation where Kupp sort of falls out. I still think Chris Godwin, I feel like Chris Godwin still is going to be okay, just because, you know, look, Tom Brady is not the deep thrower he once was. He is 43 years old, or at least he will be coming up in a couple of months. He'll be 43 years old. And I just wonder whether or not Godwin sort of, I don't want to say fills that Edelman role, but he is that slot guy, and he can be sort of that guy that Brady goes to when things start to break down a little bit. Plus, he has, I think, better yards after the catch potential than Julian Edelman ever did. So I feel like he is still kind of six. I don't think is ridiculous. I still think he sort of slots in that top five myself, but you know, I can understand your argument. So then with those guys out, who do you think jumps back in? You mentioned Devontae Adams, who I think would have been in there last year had he not gotten hurt and missed a handful of games. He probably would have been there. And any other guys you see that could possibly be potential guys in the top five?
So, you know, Kenny Galladay, with a full season of Matt Stafford being the quarterback, he was averaging right around two fewer fantasy points when Stafford went down. So if you're getting to 16, 17 points per game, 18 points per game at wide receiver, I mean, you've got a good shot at getting into that top five. I could see Allen Robinson sneaking up into the top five. Do we consider Nick Foles an upgrade over Mitch Trubisky? I guess that's the question. So then if that rapport is developed quickly, and that might not happen because of COVID, but time will tell, Allen Robinson could move sort of up into that top five. And A.J. Brown, who I don't have ranked in my top 10, I have him 14th right now.
Right.
If Ryan Tannehill shocks the world and is as efficient as he was in the second half of last season moving through 2020, A.J. Brown could absolutely end up being in the top five wide receivers. I just don't see Ryan Tannehill being that efficient and that reliable and consistent again for a 16-game schedule.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is that, you know, if you're talking to A.J. Brown, and I know a lot of people have talked about him, understandably, but for that to happen, I think everything has to go absolutely perfectly. Because this is still not a team that's going to throw the ball a ton. I mean, they're still going to hand the ball to Derrick Henry a lot. So I think for A.J. Brown to get top five, like, it literally has to go picture perfect. By the way, speaking of wide receivers, if you want to feel old, I just saw this come across my Twitter timeline. Wayne Krebet's kid is going to college now.
Is he going to Hofstra?
He is not. He's going to Georgetown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Does Georgetown have football?
That's what I was asking. Like, I don't know if Georgetown has a football program. I'm not sure. I don't believe so.
I don't know. Maybe he's not a football player.
Yeah. Maybe he's just, you know, going academically, which, you know, good for him. Georgetown does have a football team.
They do. Yeah.
They do. Okay.
I'm pretty sure my brother played them. So I'm a terrible brother for not remembering that. But yeah, they do have Georgetown Hoyas football. Yeah.
Roster. Yeah. I guess they are.
What division?
Is this the Patriot League, maybe? I don't know. They seem to play they're in the Patriot League. So I'm looking at their 2020 schedule right now, right? They play Marist, Dayton, Harvard. Columbia, that's all their non-conference schedule. Then they get into the Patriot League, which is Colgate, Holy Cross, Bucknell, Lafayette, Fordham, and Lehigh. And then they finish. Hey, look, this is just smart scheduling right here. It's late November. You know it's going to be cold and nasty in Washington, D.C. So they schedule a game at San Diego to take on the University of San Diego. That's just smart business right there.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that is smart.
So, all right, I learned something new today. Georgetown has a football program. I did not know that. All right, so that sort of derailed me. But anyway, as we're looking at these wide receivers, I know that, you know, this is the time of year that we're sort of hyping everybody and everybody's kind of getting some attention. Are there guys that somehow, if it's possible, have slipped under the radar to this point in the offseason?
It's so hard to, like, because we're all talking about everybody at this point.
Right.
You know, I would say Preston Williams, depending on how he comes back from that injury, he could be someone that is, you know, quote, under the radar. Deontay Johnson, I don't know that he's under the radar.
No, I feel like the last week or so, I've seen a lot of Deontay Johnson talk.
Anthony Miller's another guy who, again, coming off of an injury, but had a nice 4 or 5 game stretch last season and the quarterback position we would assume is considered upgraded with Nick Foles from Mitchell Trubisky if that's the way the Bears decide to go in the summer months and heading into the regular season. Marvin Jones, I've been getting him a lot in a couple of best ball leagues and some mock drafts, and Marvin Jones was banged up last season. I believe he played 13 games and he still had 7 touchdowns, and half of the season Matt Stafford wasn't under center. And so I feel like Marvin Jones is one of those nice pickups somewhere you're going to get in the later rounds that, heck, I mean, he's not an old wide receiver. He's proven that he can make an impact in fantasy leagues. So why not take a chance on him late when, you know, you could be looking at, you know, guys like, say, Paris Campbell or mm-hmm. Randall Cobb or Alan Lazard at that same in that same area. I would absolutely take a chance on him. And I think he could end up being a pretty decent draft bargain.
Yeah, I do think Marvin Jones is one that has sort of been overlooked a little bit because, you know, I think we think of the Lions, we talk immediately Galladay.
Yep.
Obviously, we spent a lot of time on that backfield because we're trying to figure out how things kind of split out between DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson there. So I think that's probably one that I think people will I can see him sitting there in the double digit rounds and somebody plucks him and ends up getting a pretty mm-hmm. quality wide receiver out of the whole deal there. I don't know how to feel about James Washington because we've talked a lot or we've seen a lot of stuff written and said about Deontay Johnson in the last week or so. And I know that people have really started to pick up on him a little bit. And I just sort of wonder, because remember last year we were sort of trying to hope that Washington could develop into something. I mean, you remember the whole narrative, like he and Mason Rudolph they were college teammates, mm-hmm. I think, you know, and maybe this works out that Mason Rudolph is playing and it never really happened, I think, the way we wanted it to. But you know, on some level, I think there's still some talent there. It's mm-hmm. just, I think, Fab's a matter of him finding a niche now, right? Because we know that Juju, if he's there and healthy, is going to get a lot of looks. Obviously, Deontay Johnson seems to be the new hotness in this whole thing. They've got to figure out how to get the ball to their running backs, be it James Conner or somebody else. But I still think there's a pathway for James Washington to maybe be at least a boom or bust prospect, maybe a best ball sort of guy. And I feel like he's sort of been overlooked in this whole conversation.
Yeah, no question about that. There's just in Pittsburgh, you've got you add in Chase Claypool, you add Eric Ebron. Mm-hmm. You've already got Juju. You've got a pass catching running back there in James Conner. There's a lot of options there, right? So
right.
I like Deontay more than I like James Washington from a fantasy perspective. And Johnson, there was a bunch of stats on him that I researched. I mean, in terms of accurate passes going in his direction, mm-hmm. About him having the ability to gain separation from defenders. When your quarterback's nickname is Duck, it's just not good. And when Mason Rudolph is the other option, it's just not good. You bring Roethlisberger back and suddenly you've got potentially a nice draft bargain. But with that being said, you also have to factor in that Juju is going to end up seeing, you know, hopefully for his sake and for the sake of fantasy owners, well over 100 targets in this offense. And Juju, man, you see, you know, the pictures of him, like he's all ripped. He's got the 18 pack going on right now. He's
doing
in good
a DK
shape.
Metcalf right now.
Yeah,
right.
He is. So Juju looks like he's ready. And Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's ready. He shaved that, that beard. He looked like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger in those videos that we saw online. So good things for the Steelers offense hopefully are to come in 2020, coming off of what was just a dreadful 2019 season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, though, we've mentioned this, it just feels like so much hinges on Ben staying healthy.
It all hinges on him staying healthy. You're right.
You know, because if he goes down again, then this thing completely potentially falls apart. I'll also say mm-hmm. Anthony Miller as a guy that you mentioned him too, that I feel like we should be talking a little bit more about. But I think, again, the quarterback situation has a lot to do with it. You know, so we'll see how that works. Mm-hmm. Are there wide receivers that are getting too much love right now? Are there guys that maybe are going a little bit higher than you think they should, that maybe we're reaching for in drafts?
So the first one that comes to mind would be Devontae Parker, but I don't really see people reaching for him. So mm-hmm. Parker, you know, had that elusive fifth year breakout season,
right?
But it was only really half of the season. And if you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and the numbers that he was putting up, I mean, it was bananas. Mm-hmm. So now Fitzpatrick comes in out. Chan Gailey's the OC there in Miami, and he's got a really good understanding of that offense because he played under Gailey for I think 4 or 5 years. And you also have to factor in, though, that like Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the quarterback there at some point. We've already heard the Dolphins talk about how, hey, we're not afraid to put him in there if he's healthy. And you know Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to Ryan Fitzpatrick. There is going to be a game where he throws 3 or 4 picks and everyone in South Florida is going to be clamoring for Tua to take over, and he will. So how does that affect Devontae Parker's fantasy value? So I would say if you're drafting Parker as a wide receiver 2 in a 10-team league, I think he could do better. I think he's more of a 3. I mean, I have him ranked 25th at this point. If you're in a 12-team league, you're probably looking at him as a borderline wide receiver two or three. Mm-hmm. Another player that I'm a little bit concerned about is Jarvis Landry coming off of that hip surgery, mm-hmm. right? So Jarvis is Jarvis. He had a really good season comparatively, especially with how people were projecting him because of the addition of Odell Beckham Jr. He ended up being better than Odell Beckham Jr. in fantasy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, coming off of that surgery, Marcus, that's going to be rough. And then you add in Austin Hooper to an offense that's got a lot of pass catchers. And then Kareem Hunt's going to be there for 16 games, you project. So Jarvis, I feel like if you draft him as a three, I think you're okay. But I can't look at last year's numbers and think, well, he's going to put those numbers up again. Because, again, maybe a separation in terms of the target share and more options in the passing game for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I would say one name that has me worried is Mike Evans. And I'm too chicken to actually drop him out of my top 10, but I do feel like there's an easy path for him not being a top 10 wide receiver this year. And it sort of goes part and parcel with what I said about Chris Godwin staying in the top five, is that, you know, part of what made Evans so successful with Jameis Winston is that you just had a quarterback who would stand back there and just rip it and go deep when things broke down. Tom Brady's not going to be that guy. So I think that Evans, who has never really been a big yards after the catch guy, who's been kind of, I don't want to say a deep threat because I think that diminishes what he does, but he's been a big air yards per target guy. And I don't know that that's going to quite be there with Brady at quarterback this year. Then you add to it that they've got a lot of guys that can catch the ball around the goal line, right? I mean, you know, Evans is obviously one of them, but they still have OJ Howard. They added Gronk. They still have Cameron Brake. They can maybe try to run the football if they get down close because they add Keyshawn Vaughn and that sort of thing. So I just worry that Evans maybe finishes the year outside the top 10. I think he still gets in the top 15 or what have you, but I think for people who are trying to draft him second round, I think there may be some frustration that they don't see coming when it comes to Mike Evans this year. I don't know.
Interesting.
Which guys, and maybe this goes back to the Steelers again, but maybe there's some other guys. Which guys are you looking at that the crystal ball is murky right now, that you're having a hard time sort of projecting what they could be this year?
As a Cowboys fan, I'd say Amari Cooper because mm-hmm. of the addition of CeeDee Lamb. Like, I mean, Cooper, when he was right last year, was a number one wide receiver in fantasy, and there was no question he was tremendous. Mm-hmm. But when you add in CeeDee Lamb, a guy who has got sticky hands and was basically, you know, most scouts had him ranked as the number one wide receiver prospect in the 2020 class. And then you also have Michael Gallup, and they're also talking about getting Blake Jarwin a little bit more involved in the offense too, with Jason Witten now in Las Vegas, which is still, again, weird to me. So, like, I mean, I drop Amari out of my top 10. I have him at 12 right now, but he's a player that you could end up seeing somewhat of a decline in terms of his points per game production. What about Keenan Allen too, right?
Yeah.
Keenan Allen been playing Phillip Rivers forever.
Yep.
And now you got Tyrod Taylor. And I like Tyrod Taylor, but he's not Phillip Rivers. And he doesn't have the rapport with Keenan Allen, nor does he have that rapport with anybody right now in Los Angeles's offense. And there's a very good chance that Justin Herbert's going to be quarterbacking games for the LA Chargers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a believer in Justin Herbert. So that also has me a little bit concerned. Like, I have Keenan as a wide receiver too. I definitely dropped him down in terms of my rankings when the Chargers decided to part ways with the YOLO man. And and Keenan is somebody who is a veteran. He's talented. Yeah, he's going to get the job done. But to what degree is there a decline in his stats? And I think there is going to be a decline in his stats in 2020. So hard to project him too, because you don't know, especially with coronavirus going on right now and what's going on in the state of California in terms of like getting guys out in the field and actually practicing. You don't know how quickly or how slowly that rapport is going to be gained with Tyrod and then with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Keenan Allen was the name at the top of my list just because, as you mentioned, that change at quarterback, who regardless of who it is. And I guess with Tyrod, maybe there's a shorter learning curve just because he's been there and they've had a chance to at least get to know each other a little bit. But I think there's still just a lot of unknown. I will say, I know a lot of people are getting excited about Marquise Brown this year, and I sort of get that, but mm-hmm. I just feel like he was way too volatile in terms of his week to week performance. And maybe that gets
certainly was. Yes.
Maybe that gets a little bit better this year. I don't know, but this is still going to be a very run heavy team that they'll take their shots downfield. Throw in the fact, though, that, you know, they've added Devin Duvernay, who is, I think, an occasional guy who can get some targets there from Lamar Jackson. I like Hollywood's upside. I like where he is when he's at the top of at his peak, but I don't know that I want to ride that roller coaster week in and week out with him. And I don't, you know, I think I want to see him get a little more consistent before I take a shot at him. So that's mm-hmm. that's what I'm looking at. Which guys are you targeting the most in 2020?
Give me all the shares of Deebo Samuel, please. I will take them all. I love Deebo. I love what he did in the second half of last season. And he was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. Emmanuel Sanders is in New Orleans now. Deebo is somebody that I want. I want Terry McLaurin shares also. Mm-hmm. When you look at last season, started strong, middle of the season sort of struggled with the insertion of Dwayne Haskins into the starting lineup, and then the two sort of picked things up towards the end of the year. And McLaurin, really, I mean, he's going to get all the targets there, dude. I mean, like, what else do they have right. in terms of pass-catching players there? You've got, what, Steven Sims? I mean, there's not a whole heck of a lot. Even their tight end right now is Jeremy Sprinkle or Thaddeus yeah. Moss. Like, right. I love McLaurin as a guy. I'm going to be trying to get a lot of shares of Mecole Hardman because I feel like he's going to take the next step. I get it. His ceiling is shorter because of the talent and the offense, but I feel like he's a better bet to score more fantasy points than Sammy Watkins in 2020.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. I would, I'd add John Brown to that list too. And I know that everybody's going to look and say, well, they have Stephon Diggs. And yeah, I mean, he will definitely siphon off a good number of targets here, but let's not forget John Brown last year had a career year. Playing with Josh Allen. And I don't think he just completely fades away from that offense. And you're talking about getting him late. It's potentially a depth add, a flex option there. I think with the upside he has, I would like to get as much John Brown on as many rosters as I possibly can. I'm still sort of waving the flag for Christian Kirk. And again, this is more as a depth add. I'm not necessarily drafting Christian Kirk to be a frontline guy that I start each and every week. But I think he sort of has... I know the quarterbacks are different, but he has kind of Will Fuller potential. And, you know, you've got Nuke at one spot, you've got Christian Kirk at the other spot. And I think that, you know, if Kirk can stay healthy and he and Kyler Murray can get together again, I think there's a lot of upside there for him. For a guy that we thought was going to really break out last year and you know, it was kind of just meh, I do think Christian Kirk can kind of come back and redeem himself a little bit for next mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. All right, last thing. Do you have a wide receiver hot take for 2020?
I got a bunch of them, but I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to return to elite status. And a lot of people, I feel like, are projecting that.
He says he's in the best shape of his life. What are you saying?
Listen, okay. I mean, that's great. But I still have questions about his quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Cleveland added more weapons in the passing game. I don't know that Kevin Stefanski's offense is going to be conducive to Odell Beckham Jr. putting up 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns, much like he did during his time with the New York Football Giants. Mm-hmm. So I would be drafting Odell Beckham Jr. as a 2 or a 3 in a 10-team league. And in a 12-team league, you're probably going to have to get him as a wide receiver too. But I really don't think there is a guarantee that he moves back into that top 10, into that elite status. And I think Deebo Samuel could end up being a top 10 wide receiver. Wow. I'm all in on him. I'm sorry. I know he's your guy. You're a Niners fan.
I don't want you to jinx him. Yeah, right.
I love him. I freaking love him. I am all in. There's two guys that I love, like Miles Sanders and Deebo Samuel. I want both of them on all of my teams if I can possibly get. I love what Deebo brings to the table. He is a ridiculously athletic player who just – listen, he makes plays. And when you look at – the pass catching options in San Francisco, it's George Kittle and it's Deebo Samuel. And Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be looking at those two guys a lot. And I feel like Samuel's going to take that next leap into becoming maybe not an elite fantasy receiver, but a damn good one. And I'm all in on him really producing very good numbers.
You know, I did say last year at some point that Deebo Samuel reminded me of kind of a young Anquan Boldin. You know, a guy who catches the ball and it's just really hard to tackle once he has the football in his hands.
Yes.
And I think that was what we saw last year. And that was why I think you saw the Niners really work hard to try to get the football in his hands as much as possible.
I believe I'd have to look it up, but I feel like, I mean, he's one of the top wide receivers in terms of broken tackles. Yeah, he is. He actually last year, the number of broken
in tackles among wide receivers. Number one, Cortland Sutton. Number two, Deontay Johnson. Keep that in mind, folks. Number three, A.J. Brown. Number four, Deebo Samuel, baby. He's tied. He actually tied A.J. Brown and Chris Godwin and Cooper Kupp and Nuke with 9 broken tackles last season. So, like, that's big. That's
yeah, big. No doubt. If I have a hot take here, it's I'm gonna go very specific. I think Mike Williams might end up having more fantasy points than Keenan Allen. I think a lot of it's going to be the touchdown upside. Allen has never been a huge touchdown guy. I mean, he will get his targets, he'll get his catches, but I think Mike Williams is that guy. And especially if it ends up being Justin Herbert who takes over a quarterback, I think he's going to try to push the ball downfield. And we saw that helped Williams a lot last year. And I think that, you know, I think the possibility is there for him to get double digit touchdowns. And I think, yeah, if he can get enough targets, I wouldn't be surprised if he's pushing Keenan Allen in terms of their fantasy scoring this year. So yeah, it's a hot take. Speaking of which, it's getting hot in this studio. So I guess that's time to kind
of, by studio, you mean your living room?
It's my kid's bedroom because he's got the best lighting. He's got the best lighting in my place.
What's he doing, man? I guess he's not in there.
No, he's off taking a walk, I think, right now. He's getting some fresh air, which is what I'm going to probably go do.
By the way, congratulations to our friend Chris
Wessling. Yeah, Chris and Akeisha.
Yes, they had a baby boy, Lincoln, a handsome devil already. And, yeah. Awesome. God bless and all the best. Yes.
No doubt. Absolutely. Best wishes to them. Welcome to Team No Sleep. Chris and Lakeisha, get that. But it is an adventure. Enjoy it. Congratulations to you guys as well. All right. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you watching and listening and downloading and all that good stuff. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, it's only funny until someone gets hurt. Then it's freaking hilarious. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you on Thursday.